Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome, Andrew. This is Andrew McMahon.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
Currently, Andrew McMahon in the wilderness.
That's correct.
Has ventured out of the wilderness to New York City to Billboard's Manhattan office.
Feels pretty wild out here, though.
I want to talk about the self-titled, I guess you could say, since that's the name of the project now.
Yeah.
Self-titled album, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, which has been out since the fall. And so I want to do some looking back on the album now, since you've had some time to kind of let it sink in. This won't really be like a here's a new album kind of interview, because it's been a few months. But it's still not that old. So, you know, the narrative around the release when it first came out was how it seemed like you were bummed with the industry, with Warner taking forever to release the last Jax record, and you kind of needed to recharge. Or at least that's what I picked up on.
Yeah.
So do you think this new album helped you do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I don't blame the industry per se. I think there were a lot of factors that played into, you know, the way that the Jax thing wound up and sort of finished. I think just in general, I wasn't really built for that system. You know, I think it worked for me for a long time, but I think there were always just inherent frustrations and a lot of hands in the mix, you know. And again, it's like, I totally get it. You're spending a lot of money and you have a vested interest in your investment paying off. And I think, so sometimes you get to the point where there are a lot of people micromanaging a situation that could be a little bit freer and maybe would benefit from being a little freer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the approach to this record was, you know, markedly different, and it also required me to do some things that I wasn't doing when I was in the major label system, which was setting my sight on a deadline and working towards it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that part of it was usually my fault. You know, I had a hard time finishing records quickly, especially the last two Jax records. I mean, there was 3 years between both of those albums, and I think when I, you know, got on board with new management and we decided that we were going to put out this self-titled record, it was like, okay, well, you're not going to spend 3 years to make this record. You got to batten down the hatches and do the work and write the songs and get them done and not let it kind of trickle towards a release, but instead kind of, you know, run towards it. So we set a deadline, and we literally, the record came out the day that we had scheduled for our deadline.
Yeah, and to me it doesn't sound that different than the Jax Mannequin records, but the hooks and the melodies, they just sound really, really happy. Like, maybe happier than they'd been. They sound really lush. They sound really full. So it does seem to me as a listener like you sound recharged.
Yeah, I turned a corner for sure. I think in the, you know, between when I made Everything in Transit and, you know, the two records that followed with Passenger and People and Things, I mean, obviously a lot in my life had gone on, you know. In that period of time, there was a lot of that time was, you know, was sort of this slightly confusing moment where I was recovered from being sick, but I think there were a lot of issues that still resonated with me that I hadn't sort of dealt with. And I was working my ass off so much that I think I avoided dealing with a lot of stuff that was attached to my illness. And so at the time that I was sort of winding up the People and Things record, I moved out of Los Angeles. I moved sort of back to the same town where I went to, went to high school, and have a lot of my friends there and family, and just sort of dug back into, I think, maybe a little bit more of a meaningful existence, rather than going from the road back to the studio, from the road back to the studio, and spend a couple, the few years in between records, the last Jax record and this one coming out, just sort of like revisiting, revisiting, I think, some of the places that had inspired me the most in my early days of writing songs.
Yeah, so let's play a little bit of Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. This is Cecilia and the Satellite.
She's doing good, yeah. She's back at the hotel right now with mom, and gearing up for her first to the UK for a little about what 6-7 tour dates now.
Also, want to talk about another point I thought was interesting with kind of leaving the major label game and going out on your own with Vanguard, your new label. In interviews, especially ones for this album, you've made it known that you'd still like your music to be on radio, to get heard by a lot of people. Were you afraid at all, like, leaving the major label system would hurt that?
Well, I think I wasn't afraid. I mean, truthfully, if there's anything that I can say about this transition, a lot of it was about going into it without fear and trying to tailor a scenario where we could operate out of excitement for the music rather than out of fear, which is something that I felt like was really a mark of a handful of my major label releases, but yeah, of course, I mean, the majors do have a lock in a lot of ways on radio, and they have big staffs. And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And whatnot. The cool thing about Vanguard and the situation that we've worked out between them and my management is we have a really fantastic radio staff. And it's sort of the best of both worlds in the sense that they actually fund radio campaigns and they have successful artists who do really well at radio. And I think that was why, when I finished the record, we started looking towards where's the best of both worlds? Where is there like an indie that will, give me a fair deal for the work that I've done on this record and will actually spend the money that it takes to play the long game at radio, which is something that is, more now than ever really essential, especially when breaking what, even though I've been around for a while, this record is effectively like an emerging artist's album for most people at radio. And that we found in Vanguard, and they've been working this single for several months, and have gotten it to my highest chart position of any record I've ever released. So I feel like it's working.
Yeah, and also like in working with Billboard, I see that kind of definitions of hits, quote unquote, are changing, and like relevancy, mainstream kind of stuff. Because with you, like for example, writing for Smash, and doing the stage adaptation of your music, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's clear that there's ways to reach a larger crowd that are emerging nowadays that are outside this realm of like traditional hit songs.
Yeah, well, I think it's about trying to have fun with your music and trying to find outlets for it that are unique. And it, you know, it's like you're talking about the Smash thing, you know, which kind of came out of left field for me. It was a fan of my music who just happened to step into the showrunner space for Smash. Mm. You know, I got the phone call for that. I'd never done anything like that before. And it was like, okay, well, I'm going to just try. And I started writing songs for these guys, and it turned into what it did. And now it's led to this really interesting sort of path where there's some overlap between what I've done and Broadway, which is really exciting to me. You know, as a kid who grew up like in musical theater, you know, to actually have some of these musical theater stars, you know, performing my music. I mean, it's a really exciting left turn that I never expected. But you get to those places by saying yes to things that, you know, maybe you're not totally comfortable with. And that, for me, more than anything right now, has been a really important part of my trajectory, is like, hey, maybe I wouldn't have done this 5 or 6 years ago. Let's try it. You know, or maybe I wouldn't have written with this person. I'm going to do it, because who knows what happens. You know, you're not going to get anywhere by turning things down that could be opportunities.
Yeah. What shows did you do when you were younger?
Gosh, I was in high school. Most of the musical theater stuff I did, we did like, you know, nothing, none of the big shows. It was like, you know, 110 in the Shade, and we did Little Shop of Horrors. You know, a bunch of like the school I went to was like, there was this drama program that was considered somewhat prestigious, and I feel like they like chose a lot of obscure obscure musicals and plays to perform in.
Yeah, I find that neat, because when I was in high school, my friends who first got me into something corporate were like the kids who were in like punk bands but also did theater.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense right there. Yeah, yeah. There is a through line for all of this stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, let's talk about the show, which is tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight.
It'll be last week when the podcast actually runs, but so tonight in New York City, it's Made for Each Other, Broadway Meets Andrew McMahon, and it's a one-time thing, right?
Yeah, they did a performance similar to this last year, maybe a little over a year ago, that I wasn't actually there for. I couldn't attend because I was on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the first time I've actually been able to participate, and I'll sing a few songs with the cast and with the band that's up there. But yeah, it should be fun.
Yes, because I've been trying to imagine what this will be like. So you'll be singing and playing piano while the players interpret the songs?
No, so most of the show is, so 54 Below is kind of like this Broadway supper club where a lot of the Broadway stars hang out, and a lot of people who attend Broadway shows will go there, you know, in between gigs, and they do smaller performances and reviews and things there. So there's kind of like a house band, and then a bunch of different Broadway stars will come. So the house band will play the songs. These different Broadway players will come in and sing and perform their renditions of the songs. I'll sing four or five and maybe sit on piano for a couple. But for the most part, I'll be in the audience at least for half the show, like kind of watching this all take place.
Have you ever watched your songs be performed before without you being involved?
Nope.
Wow.
No. Other than Smash. No.
Yeah.
So this is and when I did it, like, so at 54 Below, where this is taking place, we actually did a sort of modified run through sort of stage version of the story arc that I wrote for Smash. So the side plot that I was involved in the musical for, they actually reenacted it. So I was in the audience for that and got to watch these players do the three songs that I had written for Smash. And that was really the first time, and it was a trip to be on a stage watching people sort of feed this material back to me as an audience member. And it's actually what I'm most excited about for the show tonight.
Yeah, and what kind of songs are going to be in the set list?
It's really a blend of everything. It's a combination of music off the new record. There's a pretty decent amount of Jack songs in there. There's at least one or two something corporate tunes. So it's kind of in some ways a retrospective meets this new album.
Yeah, it's like the Andrew McMahon greatest hits. A non-traditional greatest sets.
It's interesting because they chose. It's funny because I got the list of songs that I was supposed to sing on, and there were a lot of them are songs I haven't even had in my set list in a long time. So there's like, I mean, I think they have from the Something Corporate from the Semi Corporate catalog, like they picked I Woke Up in a Car, which I think is an obvious one, but then they have like Drunk Girl in there, which it makes sense from the theater standpoint, I think, you know. So yeah, and then but like they have Into the Airwaves, which was like the bonus track on Everything in Transit.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to do a little research before I rehearse that one today.
So yeah, nice little mix, some deep cuts, some singles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So another show coming up, wanted to talk about Coachella.
Yeah.
Excited?
Couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, is this your first time playing?
It's my third, actually.
Third, okay.
We did, Jax played twice. We played, I want to say, in 2008, 2009, and again in 2011, I think. Yeah, somewhere in there. I forget exactly what the spread of the years was, but yeah, this will be the first time solo.
And what makes you so excited to play Coachella?
Well, one, I just love the festival in general. Like that's a festival I go to when I'm not playing, and I feel like as far as American music festivals go, and I haven't been to all of them, but there's just something about the combination of like established bands and emerging bands that. You can always see good music no matter what time of day it is. All you have to do is like look down and go, oh my gosh. And usually it's conflicting, which is great why I like having two weekends, because you can kind of divide and conquer and say like, okay, I'm going to see Tame Impala this weekend, I'm going to see Milky Chance next weekend, you know. And you can sort of figure out what acts you want to see and still manage to see them all because of the two weekends. But yeah, just to be included in a list of artists like the one that is, you know, like the ones that are performing Coachella is an honor and a privilege.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing, you keep a Spotify playlist for fans, a public playlist that I like. I find it interesting because you've got a lot of new stuff that I'm into, like War on Drugs, Banks, Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
And that's neat for me because a lot of times interviewing musicians, when you say like, oh, so like what other music have you been listening to lately? It's just like, oh, well, I've been in the studio. I haven't really listened to, like, much of any music, really.
Right.
I've been listening to maybe Bob Dylan. You know, it's an answer like that. So you seem really up on things. So, like, how do you keep up with new music? How do you find new tunes?
Spotify's a huge help.
this little Spotify ad going on.
Yeah,
right,
no,
here.
I know. Well, it's funny because it's like, yeah, I hate to even, you know, pick a horse in that race, because obviously I know it's like a controversial subject at the moment, but truthfully for me, that's actually been a very huge tool. You know, as somebody who's always traveling and always on the move, it's nice to have, you know, curated playlists that I can dig through and find stuff. But yeah, for me I just feel like when you stop losing sight of contemporary music and stop digging into what you find great about the current music scene, I think you start making boring music. At least I do, you know. And I think over the years, I found that my most inspired music has come from periods of time when I've been most inspired by the music that's being released. And there's so much good music out there to find right now. Like I laugh, like when I watched the Grammys, I was like, holy shit, there's so much good stuff that's not even being talked about. Like records that like changed my life this year that I haven't even heard about on this stage. And so for me, I think digging into, you know, to what's coming out and trying to find the things that you like most in the current releases is like, it's a big part of my day and where I find my inspiration to write.
What changed your life this year that you heard?
Well, that War on Drugs record.
It's so good.
I freaked on that record. I think there's, I mean, again, it's like, and there you go. It's like, I mean, there's so much, you know, there's so much like Bob, you know, Bob Dylan, and like, you know, there's so many, influences there from other generations, but it's purposed in a way that feels modern, you know, and I love that about that record. I really love the Milky Chance record. I think there's a lot of good stuff on that record. The Jenny Lewis record was huge for me. The Ryan Adams record was huge for me this year. Those were like, as complete albums go, I just found those to be so well-rounded, and for me as a listener, I just like those records were big for me. But yeah, I mean, you've got my Spotify playlist. I can run through it, you know. But I also like I do a lot of like, you know, I have satellite radio in my car, so like I end up finding a lot of that stuff like on Alt Nation and XMU and sort of have a lot of singles that I dig into as well. That Banks stuff I really dug this year as well.
Right. And finally, the last question, I want to do a little bit more of a retrospective. I was a huge fan of drive-through bands, like Something Corporate. Mm-hmm. Like I had a Walkman back in the day with a drive-through sticker on it. You know, So I love, even though the label's been gone almost a decade, people from the bands are still doing great things. Like you have Gabe from Midtown having a lot of hits with Cobra Starship, and Jack from Steel Train doing Bleachers and Fum. Like, have you kept up with any of these alumni?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw Jack last month. I was out here doing his charity show last year, and you know, I keep in touch with Jack probably the most of the drive-through alum. But yeah, I mean, even, you know, Kenny put out that great record. Is it Weekender? Is that what?
Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was like, which? Yeah.
Kenny from the Starting Line.
Yeah, exactly. So that record's fantastic. I try my best to keep up with people. Usually it ends up in the form of like a show. Like I saw it was probably a few years ago. I saw a bunch of the Newfound guys out in Australia. We connected out there. And I see Gabe from time to time. We actually hung in Japan a couple years back as well. I think, you know, I was laughing with somebody yesterday about how a lot of these bands, whether they've stayed together, you know, a lot of these guys have got their hands in a ton of other stuff, which is a, you know, to me, a sign that the drive-through experience, you know, still has a place in the world somewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, some of them have moved on to like bigger bands, others bands have broken up and gotten back together, but it seems like so many are still involved in music, and it's been a long time, so that's really cool.
Well, yeah, I think that whole, you know, aside from just drive-through, I think that Warped Tour scene, you know, for whatever you thought of the music, it bred a certain work ethic, you know, and there was an intense commitment to touring and touring in a way that, frankly, in most cases was not very, not a lavish lifestyle by any stretch of the imagination, you know, and I think when you have people who commit to their craft in that respect and are willing to work that hard, that ends up transcending, I think, time and genres and other things, and you know, if you apply that work ethic to your music long term, you know, it can take you places.
Cool. Well, yeah, good words to live by for musicians, regardless of what scene it is or what you're making.
Definitely.
Well, that's all I have, so thanks so much, Andrew, for coming out.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So that's all for this week's episode of The Alt in Our Stars. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast by clicking the iTunes link below inside the story. And you can also listen to archived episodes. We have Pete Wentz, New Politics, Screaming Females, a lot more. And we'll be back next Friday, as we are every Friday, with Waxahachie on next week's podcast. Until then, have a great week, everybody.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.